Good morning. Let's take our Bibles, please. Open to the Old Testament book of Psalms. We'll look at a verse in the 25th Psalm here in just a minute. While you're turning there, I want to thank you for being here. We've got a good crowd assembled. I appreciate you being here, the interest that you have in the things that we're about in worshiping God this morning. A woman by the name of Helen Field Fisher wrote a poem entitled, A New Leaf. He came to my desk with a quivering lip. The lesson was done. Dear teacher, I want a new leaf, he said. I have spoiled this one. I took the old leaf, stained and blotted, and gave him a new one, all unspotted. And into his sad eyes smiled. Do better now, my child. I went to the throne with a quivering soul. The old year was done. Dear Father, hast thou a new leaf for me? I have spoiled this one. He took the old leaf, stained and blotted, and gave me a new one, all unspotted. And into my sad heart smiled, do better now, my child. Here we are, almost at the end of the year. Today is the last Sunday of the year. Has this year been a good one? Or are we ready to put it in the books and turn the page for better days? What will we do if we receive a new leaf? Will we do better? What did we learn from the past year? How do we measure our year? Do we think or say God is good only if things are good in our lives? So if we have good health, if we have enough money, we have plenty of things, and things in our lives are going smoothly, God is good. But if we are stuck in a dark valley, so to speak, and things are difficult and the blessings are few, then we tend to wonder about God, thinking perhaps that God is not good. Is that the right way to think? If things are difficult and the blessings are few, then God is not good? I'm afraid sometimes we see God only through the lens of our lives. But what we need to understand is that our observation is limited. Our observation of things is often slanted because of our perspective. If things are not good in our lives, does that mean that God is not good? Is that the right way to think? I want us to look at some psalms, some statements in the psalms, that tell us very plainly that God is good. And let's begin in the 25th Psalm in verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Then the 86th Psalm. Psalm 86 and verse 5. David said, For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. In the 100th Psalm, and verse 5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. And then the 106th Psalm, and verse 1, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Then in the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 2, and verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? And then one more, the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, in verse 22. It says, therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. The Scriptures define and describe God as good. One of the hymns we sometimes sing is entitled, God is So Good. However, is God's goodness qualified? Is it limited to only the good times in our lives? Is God good when we have the flu? Is God good when there's death in the family? Is God good when we are unhappy? Is God good when money is tight? Yes, God is good. Period. God is good, even if our lives are not good right now. God is good even if we are currently in the valley of death. God is always good. There are times in our lives when we face a giant problem, or we suffer because of our faith, or all the hedges, so to speak, protecting us have been removed. Thinking of Bible characters in this regard, some of them, God was good when Abel was murdered. God was good when Job lost everything. God was good when the prophet Daniel was sitting in the lion's den. God was good when the apostle Paul was nearly stoned to death at Lystra. God was good when Stephen was martyred, as we read in Acts chapter 7. God was good when James, the brother of John, one of the apostles, was martyred, killed by King Herod in Acts chapter 12. God was good when Antipas, Jesus' faithful martyr, was killed for His cause. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, the last book of the Old Testament, God says, I do not change. And in the New Testament, book of James chapter 1 verse 17, The Bible tells us that with God there is no variableness or shadow of turning. God does not change. Our lives have good moments, everyday moments, bad moments, and rough and tough moments. There are times when we are happy, and there are other times when we are sad. There are times when we're excited, and then there are times when we are bored. There are moments that we are upset and we're angry, and then there are moments when everything is just fine. And through all of these mood moments, through all the times in our lives, God remains the same. I don't know about you, but I find that tremendously comforting. God remains the same. He is good no matter what happens to me. A lot of different things can happen to me. A lot of different things can happen to you. But whatever happens to us, God is good, period. God is good even during those moments when we wonder if He's listening to our prayers, if He has heard our prayers. God is good even when sometimes the answers to our prayers is a providential no. That's a hard principle to grasp, that one. Most people don't see it that way. Their view of God is based solely upon what happens in their lives. So if good things are happening in their lives, then God is good. If bad things are happening in their lives, difficult things are happening in their lives, then God is not good. That's why some people are glad to worship God one day and then they'll curse God the next. They'll be angry with God and they'll curse Him. Why is it that way? Why is it like that? I'll tell you why. It's because we don't view God separate from our own lives. And when we become the definition of God, we become our own God. And that's wrong. So, as we close the books on another year, as we anticipate getting a new leaf, God is good. For some of us, this year may have been filled with pain, surgeries, disappointments, and even death. And the year may have seemed so long. And yet God is good. But for others, some of us, this has been one of the best years of our lives. Perhaps there's been a wedding, a graduation, a baby being born, a person being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, getting a new job. Life has been good, and it seems like the year has flown by. And still, God is good. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the faster it seems that time goes by. I've got a picture that I have saved that's in my office of, and I can't remember who took the picture. Maybe it was Debbie. It was downstairs in the office. And I don't know, I was probably, 20-something, mid-20s, full head of hair, 6'1", you know, a healthy 175-pound guy. You know, I could work out, play basketball, play racquetball, play handball, play tennis, play golf. And now you look at me today, makes you wonder if it's the same guy. But it is. But the fact of the matter is, I've gotten older. And I can't do things like I used to do. And those of us who are older, we can relate to that. And I don't say that to discourage young people. I say when you're young, go for it. Do what you can while you're young and take advantage of those youthful years. And I don't say what I say to discourage young people. I encourage you to live life and live it to its fullest. And even to those of us who are older, the same thing. Even though we have our limitations. But the point here is, let's be really careful not to interpret things that happen in our lives that our view of God is skewed. My point here is simply this. Whatever kind of year that we have had, please remember that God is still good. And He will always be good. He remains the same. A lot of times when bad things befall people, they will blame God for it. I understand the temptation to do that. But my advice is don't do that. You remember the Old Testament character Job and what happened to him? All of the things, the tragedies, the awful things that happened to him. And even his wife told him, why don't you just curse God and die? Job didn't. Oh, he had some harsh words to say about God in the process. And who wouldn't have? In view of what he had experienced in his suffering. And I know we tend to look at the book of Job as a book about suffering, and yes, it does deal with that. But and that's how I used to look at it primarily as a book. I don't look at it that way anymore, really, to be quite honest with you. And maybe that's because I'm older. And maybe a little bit smarter in the Scriptures. But I view Job now more as a book about faith. And the issue of faith. That even when we've lost everything, Job still believed God. And we need to do the same thing. God is good. As we think about the past year, some lessons we can take from any year that we live. We should be thankful for all that God has blessed us with. Blake led us in the song about counting our blessings and name them one by one. We sing that, and it's a wonderful song. Do we ever sit down and name them, write them down on a piece of paper, one by one? Or think about, do that sometime, and you'll be amazed by how many blessings we have in our lives. Be thankful for all that God has done for us. We've got a lot to be thankful for. A lot of blessings, a lot of joys, a lot of good memories. There have been Bible classes that have been taught here. And students in those classes, and we in those classes, have learned more about the Bible. We've been taught the Scriptures. We've been reminded of things about the Bible that we already know about. We've been helped to draw closer to God and to be stronger in our faith. That's a lot to be thankful for. There have been sermons that I hope have been helpful for us. We have welcomed some new people as members here with us, and we've had to say some sad farewells to those who have passed away. And also, there have been many sins that God has forgiven us for this year. We've got a lot to be thankful for. We also view from any year that we're allowed to live, we need to learn about character and priorities from our hardships, our trials, and our troubles. I can remember when our oldest son was in high school and he played on the varsity basketball team. And I think it was his sophomore year. The team, I don't even think one game the whole year. And you know, it wasn't easy for our son or any of the players on that team to go through that kind of year in basketball. But one of the things that I tried to do and say to our son was encourage him and said, if I said it once, I said it a lot. I said, even though you're losing these games, you're working, you're learning, you're playing, you're learning character. You're learning character. Through the hardships, I don't know, that's just a sport. That's just a recreational thing. That doesn't even compare to real issues like hardships and troubles and trials. But we learn about character. We're building character. We remember, we see how important priorities are in our lives. We have been helped, and we have helped other people. And that's a blessing. We look back, and we remember the mistakes that we've made, and we've learned from them. And that's a good thing, to learn from our mistakes. We remember good discussions that we've been involved in about the Bible and Bible-related topics. We remember preachers, visiting preachers coming to hold meetings for us. And we remember the good lessons that they've taught us. That's done us good and we're stronger as a result. And another lesson we learn is that faith and hope are what open doors for us. When we walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. We know who's in charge. And it's not me. And it's not you. It's God. He's the one who's in charge. In my office, on my desk, I have a saying that I don't know who said it, but another one of our children gave it to me, and it's been sitting on my desk for a long time, and it will continue to sit there. But on that plaque, it says, We do not know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And that's God. What's going to happen to us this coming year? Don't know. We may have surgery. We may die. Probably we'll shed some tears. Probably we'll smile some. And we'll laugh some. And we'll be happy some. What awaits our nation? Don't know. What awaits our family? I don't know. What awaits this local church? I don't know. Is this going to be the year that Jesus returns? We don't know. But we do know who's going on the journey with us, and that's God. We do know that He is the sovereign one of all. He is the one that is in control. So we trust Him. We believe Him. Faith and hope is what gets us through the unknown. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. And I don't remember who said it, but just as true. A person can endure just about anything if he knows he has hope. If he doesn't have hope, he's going to give up. That's just the way it is. But with faith and hope, we know that even in our darkest days, four words, this too shall pass. Those dark days will pass. And if we've been faithful to God, heaven awaits. And you can't get any better than that. Some spiritual resolutions. This is a time of year when people make all kinds of resolutions, of course. Maybe we do it ourselves. And they're not necessarily, bad things. It's just kind of a traditional thing that a lot of us do. So what are some spiritual resolutions we can make for this coming year? I resolve to faithfully worship God regularly with other Christians. Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I know when I say faithfully and regularly, that's kind of repetitious. I know that. And I know it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to do it. And I know resolutions can be broken, but I also know resolutions can be kept if we want to keep them. And I know some of these things I'm going to share with you, some of us are already doing these things, and that's great. And my encouragement to us is, let's keep doing them. Don't stop doing them. And stop and think about it. When you think about all the hours in a week that we have, the time we spend in worshiping God in this building is very few of those hours. And when we come together to worship God, understanding then that it's not really quantity time as much as it is quality time. what we're doing when we're here means something to God. And it means something to us and to those around us. Another spiritual resolution. I resolve to read and study the Bible on a regular basis. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15 to meditate on these things. Study and meditate. Those are not suggestions. Those are commands from God. Study and meditate. It's not optional. Even if it's just 15 minutes a day, take some time, make some time to read and study the Bible. And that'll do you good. And if you need some help with that, in the back by the sound booth, there are some sheets of paper there that has a daily Bible reading schedule on it. We've had those forms available for years. And myself, I use those for my own personal use. Ever since we've made those available. And you may wonder, well, why do that? Well, think about it. Do you remember every meal that you had last year? Do you remember every single meal you had to eat last year? No. If you do, good for you. I know I don't remember every meal, but I remember some of them, not all of them. But even though I don't remember all the meals I had, I guess I'm still alive. I'm still kicking. And I may not remember everything I read and study in the Bible. I don't remember everything that I preach. But I'm still alive spiritually. And I'm thankful for that. And you can be the same way. See, we can share in this together. Isn't that great? And it might be we're already doing that. If it is, great. Keep on doing it. Don't quit. I resolve to pray to God on a regular basis. Again, maybe we're already doing that. If we are, great. Keep doing it. Don't quit. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean that we've got to spend every single minute of every single day talking to God in prayer, 24/7, 365. That's not what that verse means. That verse means don't stop praying. Don't stop talking to God. Let talking to God, let prayer be a natural part of our lives. And finally, I resolve to reach someone with the gospel of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul told Timothy, the things that I've committed to you, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Evangelism is not a suggestion. Again, it's a command that we have from God. It's not optional. When we see other people, what we need to be seeing is not just the people, but seeing their souls that are in need of being saved from sin. And it's not like one person's trying to reach 100. Just try to reach one. One. And if we all did that, we'll see some changes. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So if God should give us a new leaf, let's resolve to do better. Whatever awaits us in the future, remember that God is always good. Perhaps you're not a Christian. If you're not, you can become one by accepting God's grace and having an obedient faith in Jesus Christ. What it takes to become a child of God is to believe in Jesus, to repent of sins, to confess faith in Jesus, to be baptized, to be immersed in water in the name of Christ for the remission of sins. And when you do those things to become a Christian, your life is really just starting anew. And what a wonderful life it can be, no matter what happens otherwise. Because we're saved. Because we're forgiven. Because we have hope that we didn't have before. There's no better life than a person can live than the life of being a Christian. So if you want to make that decision this morning to become one, let us know about that and we'd be happy to help. If as a child of God you've done things that are not right, you've sinned publicly, you need to make those things right, and you can by repenting of your wrongs, confessing of those sins, and praying and asking God for forgiveness. We're here to help. God loves you. We love you. We're all trying to go to heaven. And we can do this together with God's help. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation, we invite you to come forward now while together we stand and while we sing.